This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:43 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're moving on to our next topic today, which is the merits of introducing esports as a co-curricular activity. This is, of course, coming after there's been a huge push towards increasing involvement in esports, trying to maybe get our first Olympic gold, should that be a thing. And this is coming from the Esports Kuala Lumpur Association, that's ESKL, and the Federal Territory Sports Council, and it's going to be happening in secondary schools in KL.
According to ESKL President Hisham Darus, this will be done by forming esports clubs, which can help students and parents understand its potential. Hisham says, we want our athletes to be knowledgeable about esports. We want to teach them the do's and don'ts, and they're hoping this can be done by January next year.
So speaking of potential, I think we've all heard of the cash prizes that are offered during these esports tournaments. Kid as young as 14 can win millions of USDs, which I'm quite jealous of. So he can really earn some serious money as an e-athlete. But at the same time, there are still criticisms about how it's not a real sport. And to formally introduce it in schools as a co-curricular activity will probably attract some pushback.
Yeah, I think that the thing about real sports is an interesting one. Not because I believe that to be true, just because whenever we talk about child development or whenever we talk about the importance of sports in building things, it always comes up as an important part of building discipline, building, of course, physical strength, emotional tenacity, also build nation building, right? Like sports is one of the cornerstones that we tend to talk about when we talk about making or forging great Malaysian adults. Esports takes, I think, some of that. So you still could have the nation building part of it. I think discipline could still be a part of it. Mm-hmm. You don't get the physical strength, admittedly, but you get other things. You get hand-eye coordination. You get all the mental benefits that we've been talking about.
You get to teach teamwork and leadership as well.
You do,
In group sports.
Exactly. So I think there might need to be just a sort of reconfiguration of how we think about esports. Because truly, I've heard it said so many times from so many different people, sports is so crucial to building, you know, Malaysia. And yet when it's esports, there's a little bit of resistance because you're not physically out there scoring goals, I suppose. It's not the kind of sport that people are used to rallying behind. And I think we're seeing that change. I don't know whether this is going to be a part of that, especially with the do's and don'ts, because that's one of the crucial concerns that people have, that people won't know how to control themselves around games, really.
I'm interested in the part where he says we want to teach students and parents about the do's and don'ts and the potential of esports. It makes me think, what other things can students be exposed to apart from the gaming side? So maybe by being involved in an esports club, you can be exposed to the behind-the-scenes stuff like game development as a career, or even the business side of running an esports team or an esports tournament. And this might even generate interest in some of these students who in the future might become future entrepreneurs in organizing events that can attract a lot of foreign currency to the country, attract a lot of interest from international audiences to come to Malaysia to watch an event. So there are other aspects of esports besides the gaming part of it that can be really good for the future.
Well, I guess it's also then being able for, at least on the parents' end and then now on the kids' end, to be able to understand the kind of jobs that gaming could also create, right? You're not necessarily only going to be a professional e-athlete. Not everyone can become that. Also in the same way, not everyone can necessarily become the next Usain Bolt or something. So there are other realms to explore. You can become a game journalist. You can sort of become someone who may be narrating these games. You could be a broadcaster. You could be someone working as a PR or a comms person in a gaming company. So there is a lot of room there to grow. And if there is already an attached interest and passion for the industry itself, it does make it so much more fun and so much better if you do happen to join the industry later on.
I wonder if this is also going to be a way to start identifying e-athletes, like promising e-athletes on a grassroots level, which is also prompting me to wonder whether, like, what are the requirements to be a promising e-athlete? Because you start to, I mean, when we're talking about sports, badminton, football, just, you know, the physical stuff, like, you tend to start looking for kids at a very young age. Mm-hmm. You tend to start training them, inculcating certain looking for inherent skill, but then also training in a very specific way in order to get them ready for the demands of the sport. And I'm just wondering, like, what is it with e-athletes? Like, fast hands. I don't know. I genuinely am not sure what skill set you'd be looking for to see that, yes, this kid could be a potential world champion in terms of gaming. Like, is it strategic skill? I don't know.
I think it depends on the game, like what game you are playing. If it's something like, well, I'm not a gamer myself, but if it's something like Dota, which you are playing with a group of people, a group of teammates, and it does require like strategic thinking and communication and coordination. So if a kid at a young age does have these skills that he can develop more as a professional, then maybe those are the kind of requirements. And I think it does make sense to introduce it as a co-curricular activity, because if the point is to create more wholesome students, more all-rounded students, then the soft skills that you get from e-sports can also count as that as well.
So how do you feel about e-sports being introduced as a co-curricular activity in schools? Are you going to encourage your kids to join? Do you wish that you could still join if you were in school? Call us and let us know at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Wan Amirul, who is a writer at Gamer Matters. Amirul, thank you so much for joining us on the show. So how would you imagine esports as an extracurricular activity?
Yeah, so this is actually really relevant right now, because I just came back from an event called Weeklies yesterday. So what the fighting game community does, like games like Street Fighter and all, what they do is they have weekly meetups where you just go and then you play with each other and improve. I think that's a pretty good template to follow for any kind of esports.
And what kinds of facilities do you think will be needed in schools? There's also the question of whether or not you need to have teachers around.
So I guess, like, well, obviously the teachers would have to be around, because I assume that's a budgeting thing. Like, I don't think students would be allowed to start clubs on without some kind of like oversight. But I think the most important thing you need is the hardware, you know, computers, which can be a bit pricey, which is a great time to start asking the PIBG for their input. But I think, to be slightly more controversial, there's also the option of you could reach out to like cyber cafes, because obviously 10 computers is quite a lot to spend on, but maybe you could like talk with cyber cafes and book like the venue every month. That should be cheaper for like your club meets.
And you need really fast internet as well.
Yeah. And like for certain schools, like that may not be an option, but there are cyber cafes. And if we can, like, cause students, do students still go to cyber cafes? I'm a lot older than that. So my point is, if we can make cyber cafes as a venue, then schools don't have to buy 10 computers, and also students who are going to go to cyber cafes anyway can use it for like school clubs and stuff, you know?
Right. And, you know, I guess if you had this in your secondary school back in your day, even though, it doesn't sound like you've been in school for a while, would you have joined such a club, or would you have preferred to play games on your own at home?
I think I would have. Like, if I was a kid now, I think, like, the presence of a community would probably be more helpful, because I think, like, there's only so much you can learn just playing on your own. You do need that human connection. Like, the closest thing I have, my friend used to come over, like, this was a few months ago, he would come over and we would play, like, 50 rounds of fighting games together. So I think that's, like, for any kind of improvement, like, that human element is needed.
Are there certain kinds of etiquette in esports that should also be conveyed in these extracurricular sessions?
Oh, definitely. Like, obviously, the first one is good sportsmanship, you know. I actually had it written down in my notes here. Don't quit matches, because it's a very common thing to do because you're playing an online game. So the moment you think you're about to lose, you just disconnect, and so that you can play the next game instead. That's the esports specific etiquette more people need to learn. And also, I think it is kind of important that we do also teach work-life balance to esports people. I mean, presumably sports players have good work-life balance, and I assume that's because they have, like, you know, the support system of being a school team. So maybe we can give esports a try for that.
So there's this perception, which may or may not be true, that you can spend a lot of time on these games. How would you discuss the need for balance with students?
Just talk to professionals, I guess. Because obviously, like, I don't think I'm going to, like, this hypothetical me who is a high schooler in the year 2019, I don't think I'm going to listen to my 40-year-old school teacher who has not touched a computer. I'm not going to listen to him tell me to not play video games all the time. But if I talk to, because Malaysia does have quite a lot of esports people, if I listen to someone who I know his life is esports and he comes down and says, "Hey kid, please, like, don't forget to like learn to be a good person as well," like, I think I would take his advice a lot better, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And, you know, how well do you think parents are going to react to this? And how would you talk about it to parents?
No, I don't think parents are going to accept it. I mean, I'd like them to. But I also understand, like, realistically, like, I think we're still in the baby steps of esports being taken seriously. I think we're getting there. But the moment, like, the numbers come out, like the moment an article is published saying this is how much X school is spending on their esports club, you'll start seeing the disapproving parents. But then again, there's also a lot of really supportive parents, which is really cool. So I think they balance each other out into a nice maybe. As for what I'd like to see parents do is, I guess, like, avoid the words waste of time, because I think that's the most hurtful thing you can say to someone who's trying out something new. Because, you know, secondary school, like, I get it, exams are important as well, but I think for someone like any other sport, someone getting into, like, the sport in a healthy way with a good support system can be, like, a huge buff for their personality. So, yeah.
Amirul, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was one Amirul who writes for the online magazine Gamer Matters. And we're talking about the fact that esports is going to be introduced as a co-curricular activity. This is coming through from the Esports Kuala Lumpur Association and the Federal Territory Sports Council. And, you know, it's all very much in line with this push that we're making to really center esports in many ways, as we head towards trying to get a world champion, trying to get a gold medal, just all sorts of things. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Would you want, do you support this move? Would you want to join such a club yourself? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have this message here from Philip that reads, "Definitely not supportive of esports as an extracurricular activity. Having seen some younger people and even adults in their 30s and 40s addicted to gaming, I wouldn't want my children to end up the same way."
Maybe that's all the more reason why there should be an esports club, just because, ESKL president said, Hisham Darus, they want to teach the do's and don'ts and gain a more understanding of what esports is. So by having a formal club to show people, or to show the kids what it's all about, then maybe you can also instill some kind of control into how they consume the games and also balance it with their studies.
You know, I listen to this and I definitely get it. I think games are very addictive. By nature, they are addictive. They want you to keep playing. They want more players to join and all that. But I also think that it's like trying to fight the tide. It's going to happen. And you are going to have children being raised in a day and age when there are these champions who are, they're going to be seeing their peers winning millions. They're not going to be like Ayman, who is like looking on from an adult distance going, "Oh, I've missed that boat." You know, they're going to be looking at their peers. And so I don't disagree that there are dangers. I don't disagree that there are addiction issues that might lie there. But all the more reason it should be taught properly. And also, you don't know when you are going to be denying your child something that might be very much within their skill set, something that they might be very, very, very good at.
And we're also wanting a more holistic education for children. I think in this case, with the benefits that can come from playing games, it is part and parcel of that conversation of having that more holistic education system.
We also have this message from Chris, who says, Esports is just an excuse for kids to play more games. It will impact academic performance and increase addiction. Sports generally improve health. Esports don't. Keep it as a hobby. Don't give it recognition as a sport.
Well, we kind of can't do that anymore. If the world wants to recognize it as a sort of sports and then having lots, investing a lot of money and then having so much cash prizes involved in it, it'd be kind of sad if we chose to miss out on that boat, I think.
And depends on the game as well. You can actually get a lot of physical activity from playing esports. Like if it's a Nintendo Wii game, I tried playing a boxing game on Nintendo Wii. It's so tiring because you're like literally punching air, and it does sort of like help exercise in a way. Of course, it doesn't compare to football and whatnot, but there are some e-games that does contribute to like your physical side.
Azza Hafiz says, esports has a very high entry point. It only gives advantage to people who have money. We can't even have proper internet in rural areas. How on earth are we going to play the game without it? And the hype is only interesting for people who live in the urban bubble.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I mean, if there is already a demand, at least in the urban spaces, perhaps that's where it can start first, right?
I do think that it is unequal. And I mean, there is a reason that we're talking about it specifically for schools within the Klang Valley. It's happening within Kuala Lumpur, not even the Klang, within Kuala Lumpur. So I agree. I do think that there are some very basic things that need to be addressed before we are going to get some sort of equity. We are talking about esports being introduced as a co-curricular activity. Again, it's not part of syllabus. It's just a co-curricular activity, a club. Tell us how you feel about that. Do you think it's a good idea? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:05 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we are continuing to look at the messages that have come through on the subject of esports. And this is, as we know, it's a long percolating issue. We talk about wanting to push more investment in it. We talk about wanting to find the next world champion here in Malaysia. And we also worry about addiction. So esports is going to be introduced as a co-curricular activity in secondary schools in KL. This is coming as a it's coming both from the Esports Kuala Lumpur Association and the Federal Territory Sports Council. So we want to know, what do you make of this? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you support this push towards esports in general? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up on the line with us is Amar. Amar, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hey guys, so yeah, I'm a former tournament hoster. Yeah, I hosted two tournaments in Australia, and myself am very much a gamer. However, for me, in terms of yay or nay, I'd have to say nay, because you have to see that most of the time when you see on the media someone being publicized for winning millions, he's probably the 0.0001% out of the 100. And, you know, a lot of the time, a lot of these people have to sacrifice a lot of periods of time. It's not something you can do in moderation. It's scientifically proven that you actually get a rush of dopamine when playing and scoring a certain goal or getting a certain kill in Dota or whatever. And so people do derive their own vices out of this. So it has to be a nay for me.
Amar, before you go, I mean, earlier I was wondering about the skill set that would be required. I mean, when we're trying to look for these one in a million young people, right, the ones who are going to be champions, what is the skill set that we're looking for? Like, how do you identify a skillful gamer at a young age?
A problem solver, someone who's looking to challenge themselves and is to develop themselves in some ways. This could usually be like a kid who wants to take on a Lego set who's above his age, or someone who wants to learn an instrument of their own vocation as opposed to being pressured by their parents. Someone who excels in dealing with new situations and new languages, something like that.
Just before you go, on that note about addiction, I guess wouldn't having that in an environment like a school be able to help kids and teach them, well, in some ways, to have it in a more, do it in a more controlled manner?
In idealism ways, yes, for sure. But what's going to likely happen is that, let's say they're really, really enjoying it, and not to mention that the bunch of friends they're usually playing with are the school friends, is that once they get home, and let's say they weren't satisfied from the allocated time that they had at school, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to go home and read their maths books? That's not likely.
I'm just interested in, because you said you've held two tournaments before this, right?
Yep.
I'm wondering about the business side of it. Is it something that we should encourage future entrepreneurs to get into? Like, is it a big business that we can do to attract tourists and foreign money to come in?
Yeah, it's extremely lucrative, in fact. So I think since my tournament, I actually did one of the first ones in Perth, in Western Australia. And so Perth is an extremely sleepy town. Absolutely nothing happens there. But the fact is that I was able to capitalize on that market quite early on, meant that my profit margins are pretty good. So yeah, I would definitely capitalize on that, especially in these more rural areas like in, you know, Miri, Bintulu, where places where, you know, there's not much for you as to do. And so some of these people do find an escape in esports, things like that. So there'd definitely be a community and therefore a consumer for it.
Nice. Amar, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your experiences with us. We are talking about esports being introduced as a co-curricular activity in schools. If you'd like to weigh in, do you support this push towards including it as not part of syllabus, but in school? And in general, encouraging more esports athletes or e-athletes. You know, call us at 7733-2900 to let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now we do have Chua on the line. Chua, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, actually, you see, I was born in Malacca town. And then when I was about 10 years old, my parents shifted to a Malay kampung. Then I realized that during that time, a lot of games which we Chinese mainly played are not actually that the Malays or the Indians know about the games. For example, like when we use the slippers to throw for the rubber bands or the cards or whatsoever. Then when I introduced this game to the Malays or the Indians, then basically they learned and then we played it well. And then that's where we became friends. And it's a part of a very good curriculum where we can unite the three main races in our country. This is what I'm trying to say.
And do you think that esports can do the same thing to promote unity and make friends?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You see, actually, like for example, there are a lot of traditional Malay games. For example, the Batu Seremban, whereby actually the Chinese do play. It's just that they do not know the name of the games, the Batu Seremban, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a waste where maybe the names are different. The procedure of playing the game is actually the same.
Chua, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a point in there about how playing games together can unite people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there is truth to the fact that I think a lot of the games that you might culturally inherit from your parents might not be something that everybody else knows how to play. And there's also a pleasure, I think, in teaching and learning from one another. But I do think you can get that on games, I mean, on esports as well, because it is, I mean, let me tell you, if you've ever seen me try to deal with a console, you will learn that I will need a lot of instruction. So I think that there is that element of teaching and learning that could be kind of placed in here as well, that you're going to see that sort of sharing coming about.
You know what I think would look so good on a e-gaming stage, if let's say it's a Dota competition or one that's involving Overwatch, for example, if we had a multiracial team, and that would look so good for Malaysia. You know, we really would, and this also of course happens in global sporting events that we already do go for, but having esports be part of that image would do so well for us as well as tourism here.
And I guess that is one of the pros of introducing it as a co-curricular activity. You can encourage people to make friends, not just your classmates, but across different years, different economic backgrounds, different racial backgrounds. And in general, it is good in terms of making friends and you know, making and uniting the races.
So we've been talking about a couple of different things. I mean, including the fact that you could potentially find other career paths. You know, it's not everything has to be you become a world champion. It may be that you design games. It may be that you market games. And we have a message here from a listener who says, the first useful skill to learn or to teach would be to build your own gaming computer and how that relates to better gaming.
Yeah, I think that's also a very good idea. And seeing that there is a lot of interest around having the best gear to be able to play the games properly, but also be able to stream games properly, right? Because that's another source of income for many young people nowadays, where they stream what they're playing, people follow that, and then that goes on to a whole entrepreneurial thing, right, where they end up selling their own merchandise. So it's quite a big thing to get into.
And I think another useful skill, apart from the gaming hardware, is the gaming software to create the games itself in terms of the design and the coding behind it, because I have a feeling it can seep into things like augmented reality and virtual reality, which if you extend it, you can use it in the medical field, for example. So there are applications in the gaming world that you can extend to other industries. And because we were talking about IR 4.0 last week, right? So the more tech-driven side of things is useful for the future for these kids.
Victor says, esports is no different from joining the choir, school band, other curricular activities. So having such clubs encouraging awareness is fine. But seeing that we have so many young people who are financially insolvent, perhaps the larger debate should be what life skills we can teach in schools. Financial management should be a school subject besides learning important languages such as English and Chinese. After all, if you master these two languages, with the internet, the world is at your feet.
Yeah, that's true. Though I think it's also very important to say that this is only happening in the capacity where it is a an extracurricular activity, not one that's necessarily being integrated into the syllabus. So, you know, if you just really think about your time back in school, that if there are more clubs and they are just using the facilities that are already available, why not, right? Because, you know, I was part of the basketball team but never ended up playing basketball simply because there just wasn't enough room on the court. We didn't have enough facilities either. And all I did was just sit around and it ended up going to other clubs like the chess club, I think, to just play chess.
And that does raise a question about like how to make this work, right? Esports as a co-creative activity, not only do you need to teach the right things, but you also need to have the right facilities and the right teachers to be there to show you about all the different sides of esports as an industry. So I also wonder whether our schools right now have those kind of human resources for it.
So let us know what you think about esports being part of a co-curricular activity. This is only happening in Kuala Lumpur secondary schools. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a nationwide thing. And it is a collaboration between ESKL, that is the Esports Kuala Lumpur Association, and the Federal Territory Sports Council. So it's highly local, actually. But we want to know your thoughts anyway. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:17 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. We're talking today about esports being introduced as a co-curricular activity in Kuala Lumpur secondary schools. And we want to know whether you support this. Do you think it's a great idea or not? For whatever reason, you can tell us. We are getting a lot of divided opinions, actually, which is really interesting. So you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we have Munif Malik saying, kiddos these days are already distracted enough by the Black Mirror, bye-bye physical activities, social skills, and so on. Shoving gaming into schools is just opening a can of worms for me. All other physical training, discipline shaping, interaction building, co-curricular would get shoved aside in favor of games. Conventional schools are probably one of the few breaks from virtual reality that a student has, and this proposal ends that. As a gamer myself, I know there's so many advantages in getting invested competitively, but let schools social engineer more important stuff. Let gaming stay what it is, a hobby accessible outside of academia.
Yeah, but I think it still does stay that way for now. It's not, again, part of the syllabus. And to your note about, you know, giving kids more time in the physical realm, which is something I do agree with, right? In a lot of cases, especially as we are moving ahead into spaces where tech becomes increasingly invasive, it is very important for them to be able to interact outside of that space.
You know, I'm very late in life to enjoying physical activity. When I was in school, I was very much a nose in books kind of person. And, you know, it benefited me in terms of exams, but I am a really uncoordinated adult, you guys. Like, it's shocking. And I do think that there are a lot of things that I could have learned a lot better if I'd lost a little bit more at sports, because I would have lost, let's face it, not the most physically adept person then. But looking back now, I do wish that I had more of that integrated into my education. Mm-hmm. So I really don't want to see that go away. And I like to believe that there will always be a desire for people to expend energy through sports, that the popularity of football and badminton, for example, in our country will still maintain that level of interest. People will still want to do that. But having an outlet for games, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm also seeing that increasingly, right? If you do happen to have a huge interest in football, you do tend to also play the sport, you watch the sport, and you also play the games that are involved in football too. So it's like it's giving you more chances to be involved in the medium.
We have Lawrence on the line now. Lawrence, good evening. Oh, we have lost Lawrence. Do call us back. 7733 2900 is that number. Again, you can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We also have this message here from Mohan.
The world gravitates towards what makes money. Esports thrives on human addiction, just like tobacco and alcohol. Esports championships exist due to its money-making ability. It's a big no for me. Make a comparison to the number of players to the number of those making a living out of it. The real world still needs education-based occupation.
Yeah, but also the real world is one in which children are already playing games. So I feel like I take the point. I do agree with, like I said, I do agree that addiction is real. We do see that as a problem. But people are already playing these games. It's going to happen regardless. So maybe having a club that talks about do's and don'ts is a way of, you know, mitigating that to some degree.
Well, you know, we did hear someone from someone that was part of the industry, and he doesn't feel so, because in an idealistic world we could. But I like to believe we possibly could, I think, with the right resources, with the right talent involved in the design of this.
So we have Lawrence back on the line with us, hopefully. Lawrence, hi. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Ah, hey. Great. Okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thought is, to begin with, I think to call it e-sport is a bit over-glorifying it. I think it's just a game, electronic game. And if you look at the dictionary on the definition of an athlete, it is someone that's more physically built. And you can't call a guy an e-athlete, right? So I think let's not over-dramatize it and say that it's e-sport, but it's actually a game, a video game. Right? And I think it's not good.
Lawrence, I mean, I'm just curious about something, because I think, you know, words change a lot. I'm not disagreeing that right now sports and athletes are associated with a certain thing. But I mean, the way English tends to work is we just change words to suit the meaning that we commonly use it for. Do you think eventually we're going to get to a point where we can accept esports and e-athletes as terms?
Well, I do agree that the words do change. But I think at this point of time, by calling it a sport, it's going to give the kids more reason to indulge in the game. Right, and it's only a game, and we should not kid ourselves with it, right?
Lawrence, thank you so much for calling and for sharing those thoughts. We have a message here from Timothy who says, sports is just competition and entertainment. Physical element is irrelevant. You don't hear people disregarding chess as a legitimate sport. But I think you do.
Is chess a sport?
I'm not sure that it is. I looked it up and it didn't seem to say that.
We're going to open a whole new can of worms now.
Yeah, but get back in touch with us, Timothy. I think that there is a point there, though, about what we consider sports and how it's changing.
Yeah, even something as physical as skateboarding, for example, has gone through and is still going through that conversation about whether or not it is a sport. Till today, it's not a question that many have necessarily an answer to, and despite even Tony, when do we draw the line? I don't know where we do.
And also it raises a question about how you define what an athlete is. So like if an athlete puts in a lot of time to train, and if a football team puts a lot of time in their strategy and team dynamics, then maybe you could also apply the term on e-athletes as well, because they spend a lot of time practicing.
Yeah, and it's a huge investment.
Yeah, and sort of like building their team dynamics and building on their strategy. So in a way, e-athletes is also a valid term to use.
We also have this next message here from Ng that says, I agree with esports. A lot of people say it can be an addiction, while they themselves might be addicted to smoking, drinking, and so on. And the definition of addiction is addicted to a certain substance or activity. Some people are even addicted to sports. Trust me, there will be friends or family who feel high when they, quote unquote high, when they exercise because of the hormones released during the exercise. My point is, there can be addiction in everything. This is why we need a proper center, a club, or a society to guide them.
Yeah, it brings us back to the idea behind it, which is to teach students and parents about the do's and don'ts and about gaining more understanding about it. So having a formal way of delivering these kind of messages could help in managing these sort of addictions to games.
James says, fully support esports. Look at skateboarding, which was not well accepted by the public in general due to its association to vandalism and so on. Now it's an Olympic sport in Tokyo 2020.
See, the conversation will constantly develop. And I think esports, whether we, e-games or esports, whether we like it or not, it will be that, right? It will become recognized as that.
Meanwhile, KY Ho says, if it doesn't teach an economic life skill or contribute to health, it should not be taught in taxpayer-funded schools. As it is, there are teenage orang asli in the interiors that can't read or do sums. I find it incredulous that virtual games are being considered in a school program.
Well, right now, again, it is one that is just being introduced as a co-curricular activity, likely using infrastructure that the school already has. It's just possibly giving students who have that privilege of having those computer centers to be able to, you know, use it, right? To be able to access that. So maybe the right way to think about it, or another way to think about it rather, is to say, okay, so these are the other schools that may be shorter on some sort of resources. We need to focus more resources and allocate properly there.
And it teaches complementary skills as well, in addition to the economic side and the medical side. You can also teach all kinds of other soft skills through games.
Yeah. We have this next message here from EK, directly to you, Lynn. If it's a lost cause to save the tigers, elephants, whales, and so on, why do it?
So I think that this is one of those times where we're drawing, and I'm seeing that as well come through. I mean, there are a lot of people who are drawing pretty extreme comparisons to esports. And I think that that comes from the fear of addiction. And it also comes from a little bit of the stigma attached to games, right? Mm-hmm. They've always been thought of as time wasters. In their time, they've also been blamed for all manner of things like violence and, you know, just teaching kids all sorts of strange...
So all the social ills we can think of might be linked to gaming, something like that.
So we've done a podcast recently with Dr. Anasuya, where we talked about the benefits of gaming. So that's one thing. But the other thing is also, there are no benefits to losing the tiger's elephants and whales. But there are potential upsides to esports. And that's why I think having it in schools, or having it, or acknowledging anyway that it's around, is not a bad thing. If we don't acknowledge it, we're lost.
Yeah, and we stand to lose out on so much. It is going to be, I think, or it already is a billion-dollar industry. If we do miss out on that boat, unfortunately, we might likely be depriving some of our young people that opportunity to pursue that.
Andrew brings up a good point, though, saying, I'm curious what the opportunity cost is. If it's not this club, what would the student be joining? And that would perhaps impact the evaluation of value.
I mean, so when you start an esports club, then I would imagine that there would be esports competition like peringkat daerah and like state level, those kind of things, because we are talking about looking for the next e-athlete, right? So in terms of finding that talent and creating these kind of competitions for esports, it does have that value to it.
We have this message here from Stephen who says, I remember in high school, I was addicted to tennis. Oh. I spent lots of time on the courts. While yes, I was healthy, I got really dark. What skills do I have now from that to use at work? Nothing. With gaming as a co-curricular activity, at least students will be more familiar with the computer, learn to sit in front of a computer properly, the ergonomics of it, which at the very least is what most adults will be doing in their careers later on.
Oh, what a bleak reason to introduce e-gaming at school.
It teaches you to sit
properly and in front of a computer for about 8 hours a day.
Hey, no, but we heard earlier from our caller, Amar, who basically made the point that that it requires problem solving, that it requires strategy. So I think aside from the bleak ergonomics of sitting down, there's also the other stuff. There's also the thinking bits. We also have this message here from a listener saying, I'm all for the esports push in Malaysia, but it should be done with caution. I used to be active and playing competitively in games such as Dota, Rainbow Six, etc. There's so much toxicity and mental strain in competitive gaming to a point that it can drive you towards depression. And teens and kids shouldn't face such high mental stress at such a young age. Mm. Once I stopped playing games competitively, my life genuinely became better and happier.
So my ideal vision of this is that let's say kids do end up playing those games, it's that the teacher perhaps can start having those conversations about them, about mental health and also about cyberbullying. Because Lord knows the amount of cyberbullying that happens on those competitive games where, you know, names get called, you see some very hateful things. So it might actually be a conversation starter both for teachers and parents to be able to at least have kids start being able to feel comfortable enough to engage in them with parents and teachers.
Maybe this is a good opportunity to sort of like compile or develop some kind of curriculum for esports in school, so you can sort of look at the different aspects to it, including the mental side of it.
So that is, well, just about all the messages that we've received. If you'd like to continue weighing in, please do keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.